All right, welcome back to Third String Podcast. It's been a couple weeks since we've done this, but I'm here on the line with Pete LaCleed on this glorious college football Saturday. Pete, how is your college football Saturday going for you?
It was going really well until Virginia Tech played, so that has put a damper on it, much like it has my entire college football season, but otherwise, no complaints. How about you, Mark?
It's what, end of the second half, and the Hokies are down 24-7 to Pitt, is that right?
Down 31-7 now.
Oh, so, Pitt scored, okay.
Yeah, because I think they've already run for like 400 yards on the ground. It's just been insane.
That's some solid run defense there.
The fool's gold that was Virginia Tech beating Florida State turned out to be the biggest spoofer of all time.
Well, it's not like Florida State's actually good. I think that was why people were misled by it. They were like, oh my goodness, they beat Florida State. Turns out Florida State is really horrible as well. Suffering, kind of like Virginia Tech this year, suffering from a total lack of recruiting in the year in which they didn't have a coach, right?
Yeah. They're talking about at this point it's year three for Fuente. Obviously it's year one for Willie Taggart.
Right.
But a lot of the recruits in the last 2 years of Frank Beamer's tenure were not as highly touted.
Right.
And so those are the guys you would expect to be seniors and kind of leading the team now. And they still have some good seniors, but they did have six starters leave for the NFL on the defensive side alone. Obviously Fuente kicked a guy off after the horrible loss to ODU. So much turnover. I mean, you're looking at who's playing this year for the Hokies on both offense and defense, with obviously Josh Jackson breaking his leg and multiple receivers getting hurt, multiple offensive linemen getting hurt. He's basically playing with a scout team right now, which still not a great excuse, but painful. I think the bowl streak is just about over in Blacksburg, which hurts, but I think in a year or two they'll be back on the national stage again.
So unless they come out and pull off a big upset here and come back against Pitt, they'll be 4-5, right?
Correct.
And then coming up, they have what, Miami next weekend, and then UVA.
Correct.
So that's tough sledding to get to the 6-win threshold for a bowl, right?
Yep. So they did have a canceled game against East Carolina during the hurricane.
I forgot about that.
So there are questions if they have tried to reschedule that game. They didn't want to reschedule because up until, I would argue, last week, they were in contention for the Coastal division and maybe playing in the ACC championship. But I think that's about done. So hopefully after this loss, they go ahead and try to schedule that last game. But, you know, if you don't win any of these next three games, that last game doesn't matter. So it's going to be interesting. What's a shame is we were so big on Fuente, and I still think he's absolutely the right guy for the job, but things are just not going well, really in any semblance of it. I think the famed Bud Foster, who obviously we all love so much, I think his days are numbered. Not that he's getting fired. I don't think that at all, but you just watch him on the sidelines. He doesn't have the passion this year. I think it's just so young, and I think this entire coaching staff looks tired.
How old is Bud Foster now?
Early 60s.
Okay.
Early 60s. I can't remember.
You think he'll just retire at the end of this year?
I do. He tried to be a head coach a couple times. I know he interviewed for like Texas A&M before Kevin Sumlin got there, and I think he interviewed maybe for North Carolina or South Carolina.
Yeah.
He's tried a little. I think these guys are all just really tired. We had a pretty rough offseason in Blacksburg with a couple guys leaving early, a lot of drama, and the season has kind of followed. So disappointing. I mean, every team has to come down eventually. You look at all of these historic programs, they've all had a couple down years in the last 15, unless you're Nick Saban in Alabama.
Well, that's actually the first question I was going to ask is, will Alabama ever come back down to earth? Because watching this team so far this year, Pete, I mean, they went in against LSU in Louisiana last week for what people thought was going to be a real defensive matchup. And it was for the first two series, and then Alabama just ran away with it. Only the fourth time that LSU's been shut out in the last two decades at home, and all four of those times were against Alabama. Is there any end in sight for this Alabama team? Because I'm really sick of them. It's not that I have anything against Alabama per se, but I just don't like this kind of dominance. It's not fun for the sport at all.
No, and I would argue, I really like Dabo Sweeney as a guy in Clemson, but it's just not a lot of fun that every year it's just Alabama versus Clemson.
No,
this would be the fourth straight year in the playoffs if they both manage to advance out of that first round, which I think it's looking pretty likely. I mean, the only excitement we have is who gets the number 3 and 4 spot. If Notre Dame doesn't lose, obviously they're in. So I think it comes down to really Notre Dame, Michigan, and those are kind of the the two teams we're eyeing, I mean, Penn State, who you and I were both high on, has slipped a little.
Yep.
They're still obviously really good, but it almost feels like a down year for college football, and I'm not really sure why, because we've got so much talent, still great games, but there's just something not there this year in the competitive edge that we normally see. I mean, we're seeing mayhem, but we're not seeing the kind of mayhem that is much fun for us as the fans. And maybe I'm just biased because my beloved Hokies have pretty much already called it a year. But overall, the Saturday night matchups on ABC that Kirk and Chris Fowler are calling are never great games.
Right.
I mean, it's just disappointing. I'm almost moving on to college basketball already, which is kind of weird for me. Normally, this is my favorite time of the year as we get both sports going, and baseball's just finished up. So I'm almost in a three sport couple weeks.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm almost just exclusively on college basketball. But how about you? Are you feeling good about anyone besides Alabama to be the favorite throughout the rest of the season?
You know, I think my favorite storyline of the season is the comeback of Michigan, because there were all these question marks around whether or not Jim Harbaugh was the right guy for the job, because he
sure
can't figure out how to beat Ohio State, can't beat Penn State. He can win the non-conference games when they're against lesser opponents or non-Power 5 opponents, but when he goes up against your Michigan States, your Ohio States, Penn States, Wisconsin's, he's just not bringing home the hardware. But this year so far has been the revenge tour for Michigan. They're looking like the real deal, obviously,
yeah.
Number four now in the latest CFP rankings. So I think that's exciting. I've actually been a Michigan. I mean, Michigan's not my favorite college football team, but I've liked them ever since the Denard Robinson era. He was just such a
sure
fun player to watch. So I've had a soft spot for the Wolverines ever since then. And it's been kind of fun to see them climb the rankings this year. But you're right. I mean, overall, I think college football is really kind of being hurt by the continued dominance at the top by just a handful of teams, because I'm sick of your Alabamas and your Clemsons of the world. I mean, I don't hate FSU by any stretch, and I like Willie Taggart, but it's been refreshing to see FSU not at the top of things this year. It's been it's been nice when they're actually losing football games. Same thing kind of with Stanford. And again, I like Stanford. I think David Shaw's done a great job with that program, but it's nice that they're not at the top of things right now. It's nice when they lose, because you just need a little bit more variety to inject some excitement into the college football season. If that's not there, it's not fun.
Yeah, and you and I talked about it a couple weeks ago with the NFL, that say what you will about how the NFL does business, but at least we get a little parity every year.
Right.
We expect the Patriots to be in the playoffs. We expect some of these big name franchises to continue to be the big names. But at the end of the day, you still really never know what's going to happen. It's very much any given Sunday, team to team. I think we talk any given Saturday in college football because there's always going to be an upset somewhere.
Right.
But I think even when the line is 14 or 17 in Vegas on an NFL game, you're still not feeling really confident. And you rarely see a line over 10, 10 and a half in the NFL that these teams, I don't know if it's because of the draft. I don't know if it's just because how much money is in the sport.
Right.
They just find a way to make it competitive until, I would argue, probably the NFC AFC championship every year.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, speaking of lines in the NFL, do you want to do some dime a dozen, go through and make our picks for the NFL action tomorrow?
Yeah, you and I haven't lost any money on the NFL here in a few weeks, so let's get back to
all
it.
All right, here we go. So I'm looking at the odds for the games coming up. It looks like the site that I'm using for my odds here has published odds for 11 of the matchups, so it won't quite be a dime a dozen. It'll be a dime on an 11. But we'll go through each of these matchups and make our picks.
Cool.
So the first one here, New England Patriots, Tennessee Titans. And we're just going to do the money line bets to keep it simple. So Patriots right now, minus 320 favorites, Texans plus 260. Who are you taking here?
Taking the Patriots. I liked what I saw out of the Titans last week, but I don't see enough to really think that they are over the hump yet to take down the Patriots, who are just clicking. I mean, you go back to what the Patriots did a couple weeks ago against the Chiefs, and you just look at the way that the Patriots were doing business. Was that Sunday Night Football last weekend? I mean, they, like they do every year, they're just clicking. So I'm, much like Alabama, I'm not willing to go against the Patriots until they show me that I should start betting against them.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. This is, however, one interesting storyline here is this is the Mike Vrabel versus his mentor, Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Game. So this, it could be interesting, but Tennessee Titans are home as well. Patriots obviously play better in Foxborough, so that could be interesting. But right now the Patriots are 7-point favorites. The spread is minus 7 Patriots. So I agree with you there. Do you want, actually, maybe we should do the point spreads instead of the money line. You want to do that?
Sure, sure.
Make it a little more interesting, because I think most people will agree that the Patriots will win this one. But let's go with the money line. So the Patriots are -7 favorites, Tennessee +7. Which one are you taking there?
I think I'm still going with the Patriots. I think I still like the offensive weapons versus that Tennessee defense. So I think I still like that. What did I see? The over-unders in the high 40s on that game. So I think everyone's expecting a lot of points, and I just expect more out of the Patriots, especially as Tom Brady seems to be using his receivers more effectively and right. efficiently than he did the past couple weeks. I'm sorry, early in the season versus the past couple weeks. So, yeah, I still like the Patriots there. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, the emergence of Cordarrelle Patterson as a premier running back has been interesting after Belichick decided that he was going to use this kick returner wide receiver in the running back role. It'll be interesting to see if that continues week to week. The Titans' defensive line is actually pretty underrated. I think they did a good job. I watched them very closely when they played the Eagles several weeks ago, and they did a very good job shutting down the Eagles' attack. So that could be an interesting matchup to watch, the run game versus the Titans' defensive line. But I still agree with you. I think the Patriots will do this. I'm looking for like a Patriots 10-point victory or so. You know, I think something in like the 30-20 range is very reasonable. So yep. I agree with you there. Okay, Detroit Lions, Chicago Bears. The Bears here are 7-point favorites. They are playing at Soldier Field, so they're at home. Who do you like here?
I think I like the Bears based on the Bears' defensive capabilities. I know that they've been falling down a little the past couple weeks, but I still like the overall performance of the Bears. But you do kind of have a stat machine in Matt Stafford, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's able to come out and really do something on offense. But I think I still like the Bears defense versus the Lions offense that I think outside of Matt Stafford is going to struggle a little. I like LeGarrette Blount. I think he's come on stronger this year than I expected, but I still like the Bears. How about you?
I agree. And the reason is, I mean, so the Bears certainly have a stronger defense. Khalil Mack's been a little bit banged up with the ankle problems, but and I might not think the Bears in this matchup, except for the fact that the Lions, of course, just traded away Golden Tate to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Golden Tate, who's a yards after catch monster, who since 2016 is the NFL leading wide receiver in yards after contact. So, or yards after catch, excuse me. So the Detroit Lions have one less weapon. Now there's some good young talent. Kerryon Johnson is looking like a great new running back. They don't even have Amir Abdullah on the roster anymore. The Vikings just claimed him off of waivers because he was released. So Kerryon Johnson is the go-to guy in the backfield. Marcus Galloway is a really good wide receiver, but without Golden Tate, I think it's just going to be a little bit harder for them to gel their offense around a cohesive scheme yet. I think they'll need some time to do that. So I agree. I'm going to go with the Bears at -7 here. I would feel more comfortable though if it was more like a, you know, -5, -5.5, but I'll still go with the Bears. Okay. Next one is Saints Bengals. The Saints are 6-point favorites. Who do you like here? They're playing in Cincinnati.
Boy, after what the Saints did against the Rams last week, with those offensive weapons, I know their defense is a little more suspect, but you got to love old man Drew Brees.
Totally agree.
Obviously, it didn't work out with Dez Bryant with him suffering that ACL injury.
I know that's, I shouldn't laugh. It's not funny for Dez Bryant, but it is, I mean, putting aside for a second the fact that there is a man who is injured, who is losing some significant earnings this year because he's injured, etc., it's just funny that he's talking smack all offseason, and when he finally gets signed by a team, he's injured within the first few days. But
do you think that Dez Bryant injury gives credence to guys like Le'Veon Bell who have been sitting out so long in a contract year? Does this justify what some of these guys are doing? Because you just never know what's going to happen in the NFL and these freak injuries in practice. I don't know if you saw the video. He was not pushing it up and being aggressive out there. It was a freak injury that happened, but it was just so interesting in the NFL more than anything else. You never know.
I'm not a kinesiologist, but I would speculate that that's not really as freak an injury as you think. I mean, in some ways it sort of cuts against the holdout argument, because I think that if he had been actually practicing and in football shape this whole time, his Achilles would probably be less likely to rupture in that instance. At the same time, there are good arguments for holding out. I'm kind of supportive of Le'Veon Bell's holdout this year. I know lots of people have been critical of him, but I'm kind of supportive of him. I think he at least certainly has a right to do that. And, you know, it didn't work out for him in this instance. It kind of backfired because James Conner has been a monster out of the backfield.
Yeah.
But I kind of think that if Dez Bryant had been on a roster since the beginning of the year, he would have actually been less likely to be injured. Now, with that said, Dez Bryant has a history of soft tissue injuries. I'm not sure if this is the same Achilles or the same foot that he's had problems with for the last like 3 years. Do Do you know?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
So that's another thing that could affect it too. I guess it's just hard to know without knowing more about the situation and like being a doctor who gave him the post-rupture exam. But I would be willing to bet that there's some link between him not being in football shape and his Achilles tearing.
Yeah, those good points. Good points.
Okay, Jaguars, Colts, they're going to Indy. The Colts are 3-point favorites here. Is there a team that's had a season go downhill faster than the Jacksonville Jaguars this year?
No, I mean, remember, I mean, it was this calendar year that they were deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, they were in the AFC Championship leading the Patriots, no less.
Yeah, before some questionable calls there at the end and coaching not being as aggressive as it should be. And you look at guys like Jalen Ramsey, who have been very quiet the past month and a half or so. I think even though there's not a hot hand in this game at all, I think you got to go with Andrew Luck here. And at home, you got to believe that Andrew Luck can figure out a way to take advantage of what has been an unusually soft Jacksonville secondary, I'd argue. They don't have much of a running game in Indianapolis, but at the same time, I think outside of Jalen Ramsey, I expect Andrew Luck to make some plays with his feet and then burn guys downfield because his arm does look as good as advertised, which kind of surprised me. I expected him to come out and be very hesitant.
Yeah, I thought so too. Do you think the Jaguars season is over? They're sitting 3-5 right now. They're tied for the bottom of the AFC South. If they lose to the Colts, with whom they're tied at the bottom of the AFC South, they're obviously at the bottom all alone. If they win, then they are potentially tied with the Titans. If the Titans lose against the Patriots, which we expect them to do, like we already talked about. So is this weekend the make or break game for them, or are they already done? The Texans, of course, sitting at 6-3 with their super easy strength of schedule on a 6-game winning streak that makes no sense for any number of reasons. But what do you think about the Jaguars and their season?
Yeah, I think based on how well the Texans have played this year, I know obviously we're talking about different divisions, but I just don't see them catching the Patriots, and I don't see them being able to catch any kind of a wild card that I think the AFC, while not nearly as competitive as the NFC, which has seemed to have been like a 3-year trend, I don't see the Jaguars, barring some crazy miracle and Blake Bortles figuring out how to be an NFL quarterback for the first time in his career. I don't see it working out. I would expect the Jags to pursue a new quarterback here in the offseason as well.
Makes sense. Well, so the Jags started out 3-1. They've lost 4 in a row. So you think it'll be 5 in a row this weekend, huh?
Yep.
They're also winless against their own division, so that does not bode well for them. I'm going to side with you. I'm going to go Colts at -3, playing at home with Captain Andrew Luck leading. Okay. Falcons at Browns. Falcons are going to Cleveland. I'm going to take the Falcons here, who look like a red-hot team. They, of course, started out the season with their loss to Philadelphia, but they've only moved up from there. And basically, they're riding a 3-game win streak right now. They are coming off who did they play last week? It was, who am I thinking of? I forget, but Matt Ryan's back in the MVP form is the gist of this. And I watched them in their game last week. I don't know why. I can't remember who they played. Oh, of course, it was the Redskins.
It was against the Redskins, and they knocked out the entire Redskin offensive line.
Yeah, they carved them up. And the Redskins came in, actually, with a pretty good defense. I think their DVOA had them ranked 4th in the league. And Matt Ryan and Devonta Freeman and Calvin Ridley made them look silly. So, and Mohamed Sanu, I mean, I think Matt Ryan's making Sanu look like Sanu in his prime as well. So I like the Falcons here at a -6.5 line. It would obviously be a big win for the Browns if they could pull it off, but the Browns are just, and we've talked about the poor Browns so much on this podcast, but they are just an organization in complete disarray. We haven't talked about Hugh Jackson's firing and Todd Haley's dismissal very shortly, like minutes after that. And then Greg Williams coming in, moving into the coach's office and bragging about his 4 head coaching offer letters that he got from other teams because he's so qualified to do that job. But I don't see it coming here for the Browns.
No, me neither. I am not surprised, but insanely disappointed at how this has gone for Cleveland. They've had, I mean, it was almost like, did you see when Scott Frost was talking about what was happening in Nebraska about 3 weeks ago and they were losing in the most bizarre ways? And it's like the same thing happening in Cleveland.
Yeah, it
like,
is, definitely.
On paper, they should have at least 2 more wins than they have right now, and they find a way to lose. The Patriots, find a way to win.
Yeah.
The Browns find a way to lose.
That's so true. We so far we've picked the favorites on every single one of these pieces. We've got to be a little more bold here.
Okay.
Maybe that'll start here with Redskins at Bucks. The Bucks minus 3. You like the Bucks here?
I do.
Really?
The Redskins offense is so mediocre right now that I think if Ryan Fitzpatrick can be the Fitzpatrick we had the first 2 weeks of the season, and they challenge that Redskins defense, I think they could win by 10. I really do. I am, based on all the offensive injuries in Washington as well, that you don't see Adrian Peterson getting another 100-yard game anytime soon because he has no...
Right.
I mean, they're signing guys off the street at this point who could very well be starting here in 2 weeks. I mean, it's just not going well in Washington in terms of their offensive game. Even when everyone was healthy, Alex Smith is just blah. That's all he is. So maybe I'll be surprised. But I think the Bucks are going to be just fine tomorrow against the Skins.
All right, let me make your devil's advocate argument here.
Yeah.
Dirk Cotter looks like a guy who knows his job is not going to be there by the end of the season.
Yep.
The Bucks started out with a quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is one of only a handful of quarterbacks to ever throw 6 picks in one game. He's the epitome, I think, of a hot and cold quarterback. They rode the hot hand until he showed some bad football for literally one half, and then they replaced him with Jameis Winston.
Yep.
Jameis Winston, of course, he threw something absurd like 11 interceptions in 3 games or something like that. So they replaced him. Now he's replaced again by Ryan Fitzpatrick. So a lot of quarterback instability in the offense at Tampa Bay. We already talked about how the Redskins actually have a decent defense. The question is, do they travel well? But I think the Redskins could have a bounce back game here. And even though the Redskins offense is banged up, I think their wide receivers could challenge the secondary of Tampa Bay because the secondary is not great. I think Tampa Bay's strength is in its run defense. So what do you think about that?
I think those are all valid. You really don't know what you're going to get any week out of either of these teams, honestly. You saw that comeback with the Bucks. What was that, last week or the week before?
Yeah.
They didn't win it, but they still put up 24 points in a half. I mean, the Redskins are so hot and cold. I really just don't know what to expect out of this game. But as a Redskins fan, I am really worried about Alex Smith's inability to accurately throw downfield.
He was a deep ball specialist a year ago.
I know. Andy Reid, I think he looks like the smartest
coach
in football right
whisperer.
Now during the regular season.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I don't know what to expect out of this one. So I hope you're right.
So the other piece I'll add, and I'm actually tempted to go with the underdogs here and the Redskins for the plus 3 line. The other piece I'll add is that the Bucks, I think, know their season is pretty much over. They're in the NFC South, which has the Saints, which is looking recently like the best team in football, even better than the Rams. The Panthers, who their massacre at the hands of Pittsburgh 2 nights ago, notwithstanding, still have a 6-3 record and have played some really good football when it counted. And the Falcons, who we just talked about, are on this incredible hot streak and looking like they are back to 2016-2017 form. And then the Bucks at the bottom of that division. So, you know, if we're talking about how they evaluate going forward, I mean, does it matter to them that they get one more win and, you know, move down in the draft order in the 2019 draft? The Redskins, on the other hand, sitting at the top of the NFC East by a slim margin with a 1-game lead against the Eagles. So does that make a difference? The Redskins have more to play for? And if so, does that give the Redskins a little bit of an edge here? I kind of think it does. And so I think I'm going to go Redskins plus 3. Did I convince you, or are you still going Bucks minus 3?
I like your style. We'll yield to you on this one because I'm too emotional.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
So I like your style.
Plus 3 Redskins. Okay. Yeah. Next, here's what Bill Simmons calls the poopvecta of games. The Arizona Cardinals traveling to Kansas City. Kansas City, right? How about this, Pete? Try to guess the line. What do you think is the line here? Obviously, the Chiefs are favored. Obviously.
Nope.
What do you think is the line?
So after I said that you don't see lines greater than 10 in the NFL earlier, I bet this line has got to be 15.
You're so close. Minus 17. Chiefs minus 17.
Ooh. Ooh.
So what about that one? Who do you think gets that?
If I'm betting the spread, I'm still betting on the Chiefs.
Yeah, me too.
Honestly,
me too.
I think they'll win by 24.
I see this being a, you know, I mean, I think the Chiefs could put up 50 plus on the Cardinals. You know, they could give up 30 or so, but I think like a 52-28 score is totally realistic.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so we're settled on that one. Okay, Chargers at Raiders. So they're playing in Oakland. This is another big spread, not quite as big, but Chargers minus 10. Can Gruden's crew hold the Chargers to a victory that's less than 10 points? What do you think?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
You got to like Phillip Rivers.
Playing like a man out of his mind. He is having quite a season.
John Gruden is doing exactly what we thought he would do in terms of having a miserable first season.
Right.
But maybe John Gruden has been playing us all along, and he's just playing the draft game, and he's rebuilding a team from the inside out, and he knows how this is going to go, and he doesn't expect to do anything this year. I don't know. Maybe I'm hoping that's what John Gruden's game is, since they're coming to Vegas here.
I think John Gruden must have studied the Sam Hinkie school of draft picks, because he is blowing it up and trusting the process, just like Sam Hinkie did in Philadelphia. The question is, will John Gruden be able to survive the criticism? Because Sam Hinkie obviously is no longer the GM of the Sixers.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I mean, it doesn't look like John Gruden's really trying to win games at this point.
No, I really don't think he is. I think he is absolutely trying to evaluate talent for the next couple years. And Derek Carr's not going to be his quarterback either. So I think in a way he's kind of given up on the offensive scheme that he has right now. So now Chargers all the way on this one.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. Let's see. The looks like I'm looking at their draft picks here. So 2019, they now have three first-round draft picks, because they got one from the Bears, one from the Cowboys, of course, for Cooper, which is we didn't talk about that, but hilarious and terrible value for the Cowboys. And then they have their own first-round pick, which, given the Raiders' performance, is going to be a pretty darn good one. So they're going to have I'm not sure how the Bears will be at the end of the year, but I think the Cowboys will be sub-500, and the Raiders definitely will. So they're going to have two first-round picks in the first, at least the top half of the first round. Maybe three, but I think the Bears are a little better than that. And then in 2020, they also have the Bears' first-round pick from the Khalil Mack trade, and they have their own. So five first-round picks over the next 2 years, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe this was his plan all along. I mean, a 10-year contract, he can play the long game.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, he was traded away to the Bucks when he was the Raiders coach, so I don't know why he trusts that Raiders ownership, but maybe he's playing the long game. That's
a good question. Okay, so Miami Dolphins going to Green Bay. The Packers here, minus 10-point favorites. I don't know if I like that, Pete. I think I might like the Dolphins, not necessarily to win that game, but at least to keep it closer than 10. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll agree with keeping it closer to 10. I definitely think the Packers still have it, but I was really disappointed in the Packers' performance against the Patriots last week, and I expect them to have a bounce back. I expect them to be just fine.
And of course, they're at home, so...
I think this will be a closer game through the first three quarters than any Packers fan would like.
Yeah, I see this being a Packers 7-9-point victory, but I will I'll side with the Dolphins on the plus 10 line. Okay, Seahawks at Rams. This game was surprisingly close when the two teams first met earlier this year. The Rams right now minus 9.5-point favorites. Who do you like there?
I like the Rams to bounce back and Sean McVay to be angry and do something to make this a bigger game. So I'm taking the Rams.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they need to bounce back after their loss to the Saints, and I think they need to put the Seahawks in their place. I think what they see is a resurgent Seahawks team that everyone had kind of written off after 2 weeks of the season, and now the Seahawks are kind of creeping back into the conversation. They're at 4-4. Their last five, they're 3-2. So I think they're doing a lot more. They have a positive point differential at 32. So they're definitely the second best team in the division, but this is a way to make a statement win over the division rival in the Seahawks and potentially keep them out of the playoffs. I mean, this could be a season defining type of loss if the Seahawks go to 4-5 after this game. And so obviously I think we're all picking the Rams to win. I don't think that's a surprise, but I also think that I would side with the Rams on the minus 9.5 because they need to bounce back from their loss last week. Okay, let's go Monday Night Football, Giants at Niners. Okay, first of all, where do these slates come for Monday Night Football, Pete? This is terrible.
You would think at this point in the season that they would try to flex this out.
Can't they flex Monday Night Football? I guess they can't. This is awful.
Yeah, horrible. What is it? They schedule like the first 10 and then they start flexing people by week 11, week 12. Or can you flex them out of Monday Night Football and it's only Sunday afternoon and Sunday night you can flex?
That's what I thought it was, but I think whatever it is, they need to change that so they can just always flex, because nobody wants to watch Eli Manning take on Nick Mullins.
Nope, not even a little.
No. They're playing in San Francisco. Who do you think is the favorite in this game? Because I have to tell you, if I was just looking at this, I would not know, honestly. I don't know how to evaluate who's the favorite in a Giants-Niners matchup.
I gotta imagine it's the Niners just because they've been more competitive here, but I would actually take the Giants in this matchup. I think the Giants have been close enough to a couple wins that I think they could squeak this one out going to the West Coast.
So the Niners, of course, have two wins on the season.
Yep.
The Giants have one. Let's see. The Niners point differential is minus 32. The Giants point differential minus 55.
Ooh, maybe not as close as I thought.
This is really bad. The line right now, Niners minus 3.
Hmm.
What do you think about that?
I'm going to take the Giants here. I think Eli will find a way to squeak one out. Maybe not Eli. Maybe a miraculous play by
Saquon Barkley,
Sharp, or Beckham, or Saquon. Yeah, like one of the big playmakers will have some kind of breakout moment that will help propel this team forward.
I think Nick Mullins had the Cinderella debut. I think he is the hero of the NFL right now. He's a feel good story from last week, but I think the Giants will have some tape on the Southern Mississippi product, the same school that Brett Favre went to. And I think, I'm not taking anything away from Nick Mullins. He does a way better job than I ever could under center. And he might even have a future as an NFL quarterback. I don't want to say not, but I think the learning curve is steep, and an NFL secondary, even one on the Giants, one playing for the New York Football Giants, can make inexperienced quarterbacks pay. So I'm looking for some turnovers here to be the difference-making area in this game. I'm looking for some big runs from Saquon Barkley. I, too, am going to go with the Giants to pull one out over the Niners. And a game that's probably not the best of the week, but at least better than that, Sunday Night Football. Cowboys at Eagles. The Eagles right now favored 7.5, which kind of makes me nervous because it makes me think that everyone is writing off the Cowboys. Who do you take here, Pete?
I like your Eagles here. I think your Eagles have been pretty disappointing this year, to say the least. However, you look at the way that the Cowboys are doing business this year, and finally, we're not the only ones calling for Jason Garrett to be out of Dallas. But at the same time, I don't see a way that the Cowboys can keep up with the Eagles unless Ezekiel Elliott has a game like we saw in his rookie season, and Dak Prescott figures out a way to limit the turnovers. And I think that Cowboy offensive line is something that could push the Eagles defensive line around just a little, but I don't see them being able to do nearly enough to stop Carson Wentz and that offense in Philadelphia.
So I actually would pick the Eagles to win regardless, but I would normally, I think, actually think that it was going to be a closer game because the Eagles have not they've had trouble really putting opponents away this year.
Yeah.
And I might look for the Eagles to have like a 2-touchdown lead going into the first quarter, but then give up a field goal and then a touchdown, something like that. But with the trade for Golden Tate, I really actually like that trade for the Eagles. I'm looking for him to have a 100-yard game, maybe a touchdown to boot as well. And so I actually like the Eagles here. They play much better at home than they do on the road. So I think that's going to be another thing to watch as well. So we'll go with that. Okay, so that's our lineup, Pete. We went with the favorites in the Patriots-Titans matchup, the Lions at Bears, Saints at Bengals, Jaguars at Colts, Falcons at Browns. We chose the underdog Redskins and the Redskins at Bucks. Favorite at Cardinals at Chiefs. Favorite in Chargers at Raiders. Underdog in Dolphins at Packers. We went with the Dolphins at plus 10. Favorite in the Seahawks at Rams. Favorite in the Cowboys at Eagles. And underdog in the New York Football Giants at the Niners. So if we were doing a dollar bet on that parlay, $2,596.21.
Ooh, I could use that.
Or you could take your money and put it in the garbage disposal as well, and it would probably all go to the same place.
Those beautiful buildings in Vegas didn't come from people making smart bets.
That's
I'll tell you
right.
That.
Well, Pete, anything? Any closing thoughts on college football?
No. I'm
or I said college football,
it's...
just football in general, NFL or college. Any football thoughts?
I think in some ways we got exactly what we expected this NFL season. Is we're now halfway with Sean McVay looking like a great coach. You were higher on the Chiefs than I was. They've been a lot of fun to watch, honestly, which is really all I'm asking for this year. Is a fun team to watch. But it's been a fun NFL season. I'd argue it's been more exciting than the college football season has been, which breaks my heart. But at the same time, it's good. Any football is better than no football, so I'll take it. I'm looking forward to college basketball at the same time.
Yeah, I think you're right. Parity is a good thing. It turns out that when anything can happen at any moment to any team, that's actually good for fan bases and for driving attendance and interest and engagement. So who would have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, you just never know.
Yeah.
You just never know. It's good to get back on the horn with you. We've both had a pretty crazy couple weeks, so I appreciate you jumping on the Saturday afternoon, distracting me from the disaster that is the Virginia Tech football team.
Yeah.
Hopefully tomorrow our NFL teams, since they're not playing each other, can both have some good days.
How are the Hokies doing right now? What have they done since we've been off?
Still losing pretty badly, okay. If not worse than the last time I updated you.
All right, excellent. Well, I'm glad I could distract you from that for a little bit. We're on baby watch here, Pete, so baby number three is going to arrive at any point. So
any moment. I keep waiting to hear something in the background there that would cause me to think you got to jump off the horn.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, granted, third string's more important than
it is, of course,
anything
yeah.
in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate you doing that.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I mean, you know you got a text when the baby arrives, and that'll probably be before we do this podcast again. So I'll be bleary-eyed and sleep-deprived next time we talk, and I'll probably do something silly like say that the Giants are going to win a football game. But I already did that, so... I guess it's already begun.
Since you guys are on such short notice, obviously this isn't your first rodeo, but you're on such short notice. Are you guys doing anything crazy to try to speed this up? Is your wife eating crazy amounts of spicy food? Are you guys doing anything nuts you sometimes hear about people doing?
No, we haven't done any. Like, I think there's like raspberry leaf tea that's supposed to do it, and there's some hand massages that we tried the hand massages. I don't think we've done the tea ever, but for our previous... kids, we did the hand massages. They didn't really seem to do anything. So we're just trying to like stay active. Sally's going on lots of walks. We're going on walks together. We were at the gym this morning. So Sally was like on the treadmill running several miles.
Good for her.
We did the Murph. So Sally's doing like 300 squats and stuff, which is really impressive that at, you know, 9 months pregnant at your due date, you can be doing 300 squats, but more power to her.
Yeah. Lord knows I would not be able to pull
no
that
way.
Off.
And, I can barely do
I've
it now.
Never come close to having a baby.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, we'll see, man. Hopefully we'll have good news, exciting news soon, but I'll let you know.
I hope next time we jump on the horn, we've got some wins in our pockets and some new little baby crippins to celebrate.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that, buddy.
Hey, man, you have a good rest of your Saturday. My best wishes to the Hokies there. I just looked up the score. Still 31-7. There's always a chance they can score.
So you're saying there's a chance.
That's a three-score game. You score three touchdowns and do two-point conversions on all of them, and you're back. You're back tied.
There you go. I like your style. I don't think it's realistic for my guys. Like
probably
style.
Not. All right, man. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see
stuff,
if these
buddy.
Parlay picks turn out for us. And we'll talk next weekend. We'll shoot for it at least.
Good. Unless we'll split the winnings for sure. It'll be good.
Perfect. Yeah, man. Talk to you soon.